Well, one thing I found about Bob is he likes to kid around. He's a good kidder. Now, he doesn't like being in front of people, so this was not a fun time for him to stand up in front of the church. But this morning, before worship, we started doing in our call discipleship a covenant agreement that we ask each person to sign, and he was turning that in, and he says, "Well, I'm here to be sworn in." Old Army guy, you see. I think of the commissioning of officers in our military services. You know, there's a ceremony around that. There's a special time where we recognize those who've reached a point and they're now going to be commissioned as officers. Well, now Jesus was doing something like that in this passage from Matthew. He had told his soldiers, his disciples, where he wanted them to be. He wanted them to go to Galilee to a mountain that he had designated, and he would appear to them there. And when he got there, the disciples, the apostles, and I think that it may have been more than just the apostles. It could have been a larger gathering of people who had gathered there, were in effect commissioned. And we call this in the life of the church the Great Commission. And Jesus begins by saying, "All authority in heaven and earth has been granted to me." Well, why should it not? This was the very Son of God who had left his place in heaven and had come down to earth because he wanted to do the will of the Father. He came down to the earth because there was a mission to be done. Just as every good soldier follows the commands to go out and follow orders because there is a mission to be accomplished, Jesus came to earth to accomplish a mission, to make clear the very love of God. And as God himself, in the human form of a man called Jesus, indeed he had all authority in heaven and on earth. For he was in the beginning with God, and everything that was made through him and with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. He had that authority before he came. He had that authority while he was here on earth. And he has that authority now as he reigns in heaven. So when he commissioned the disciples, when he commissioned us, for this is our commission as well, he told them, "There are three things that I want you to do. Go make disciples." That is the mission of the church. Go make disciples. That doesn't mean just let people join the church. And this is why we've started having discipleship classes. And we will have more discipleship classes to go to different levels. You know, I was thrilled recently when a parent told me, "Mom, can we go to this disciple class?" And she said, "Well, this is the same one we went through." Well, I'm ready to go again. And now they're ready for phase two. Isn't that good that we have young people in the life of the church who love the Lord enough, they're ready for the next level of discipleship? And isn't it sad that we have adults in the life of the church who've never made enough of a commitment to truly be commissioned in discipleship? We talk about it, but do we live it? Jesus said, our primary mission is to go make discipleship. Leave where you are, go out there, make disciples, primarily of those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Share the good news and the joy of Christ with others. Strengthen them, uplift them, empower them in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, the second thing I want you to do is I want you to baptize them. I want you to bring them in to a new family. Just as we brought Bob and Edna and Shirley into this family officially. That was a part of the Great Commission. That's what we're supposed to do in the life of the church. Grow the family. Extend the family. Baptism is the sign that we're a part of a new spiritual family. Now, hopefully we can share that with our family and our friends. But God is saying, I'm giving you a new spiritual family now in your life, and baptism is the sign of your entering in that family. Jesus said you must be born of the water and the Spirit. You must be born anew to be a part of this new family. Now, the three people who came forward this morning had already been baptized. But we talked about this in our disciple class, that in our baptism, in our spiritual rebirth, God gave us a spiritual gift to be used in the life of the church. So in our pledge to be a part of the congregation, we're saying, I'm going to try to discover what my spiritual gift is, and I pledge to give my prayers, my presence, my gifts, and my service. Not just my financial gifts, but that spiritual gift that was bestowed upon me at baptism. Now, there's a lot of people in the life of the church that don't realize that when they were baptized, whether they knew it or not, they were endowed with at least one spiritual gift, not to be used for self-gratification, but for God to use for building up the church. Unfortunately, I think in the United Methodist Church and some of our mainline denominations, we've strayed away from talking about the Holy Spirit. We've strayed away from teaching people that you have a spiritual gift when you were baptized. Do you know what it is? Have you clarified that? And are you using that in the life of the church? We have got congregations full of people who are using their natural gifts that they were given by birth, but many have not discovered their spiritual gifts. In the fall, I hope to start offering on a cycle some courses where you can gather together here and we can, in an afternoon, in a mini retreat setting, you can start to discover and explore the spiritual gift that God has given you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize them in the name of the Creator, the one who has redeemed us, the one who has rescued us from the sins and the sorrow of the world, who has rescued us from our own sins and failures, the one who restores us to the image of God that is in us all, and the one who sustains us through the power of the Holy Spirit, who supports us in difficult times. That if our family fails us, we have a spiritual family. If no one is around us at all, and we are isolated from other human beings, if we're in some strange circumstance, in war or in sickness, that isolates us from others, we are part of the family because we are surrounded by the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are never alone. And the third thing he told us he wanted us to do is teach them all that I have commanded you. Now, we've looked at this passage in quite a bit of depth in our Bible study, but a lot of you weren't there. And we talked about how in the world do we do that? Teach all that I have commanded you. Jesus taught so much. We struggle with what that means every Wednesday night when we gather for Bible study and to understand it all. But Jesus said the entire Old Testament can be summed up in two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know that one. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. Everything in the Old Testament flows out of those two commandments of love. But what of the New Testament? Jesus says, a new commandment I give you in the Gospel of John, the 13th verse, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. That once we become a part of this family, once we come into the family of God, we're supposed to take our love to another level. You know, it's a good thing if I can try to love Bob and Edna and Shirley as my neighbor. I just figure, what is their circumstances? And then I place Mike in their circumstances and decide, well, that's how I'd like to be loved. And then I try to love them that way. Even though we don't do that, that's comparatively easy. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. So I can no longer look at Bob and Edna and Shirley and anyone else in the life of this church in that same way. I can't just put myself in your place and love you the way I would like to be loved, because I am not you. I have a unique personality. You have a unique personality. We're different, although we're gathered here as one people. And Jesus is saying that we need to reach out in love and care for one another so much that we get to know one another well enough that I can love you and you and you the way you need to be loved in the uniqueness of your experience and in the uniqueness of your personhood. That's a commandment. That's not easy. But in that new commandment that Jesus gave, everything in the New Testament is summed up in loving one another as Christ loved us. We got our jobs cut out for us. Go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you. And we can spend a lifetime doing that. And we're not alone. For he promises love. I am with you always, even to the end of time. It's appropriate that we hear these words on Trinity Sunday, where we recognize God as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's appropriate that we hear these words when people have come to unite with this congregation, St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. It is appropriate that we are here to celebrate Holy Communion. For love, he is with us always. In my devotions this morning, I read a prayer that John Wesley wrote in 1777, thanking God for Trinity Sunday. I'd like to close with that prayer. Glory be to thee, O most adorable Father, who after thou hast finished the work of creation, entered into thy eternal rest. Glory be to thee, O holy Jesus, who having through the eternal Spirit offered thyself a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, didst rise again the third day from the dead, and hast all power given thee both in heaven and on earth. Glory be to thee, O blessed Spirit, who proceeding from the Father and the Son, didst come down in fiery tongues on the apostles on the first day of the week, and didst enable them to preach the glad tidings of salvation to a sinful world. Glory be to thee, O holy undivided Trinity, for jointly concurring in the great work of our redemption and restoring us again to the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Glory be to thee, who in compassion to human weakness has appointed a solemn day for the remembrance of thy inestimable benefits. Amen.